The Beatles and the Taxman. Why are we doing that this morning? Well, unless you're totally out of it, you're going to have to pay your taxes. I believe it's they give you a little bit of a holiday because the 15th of April fell on this weekend. I believe it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 18th, and you have to have your taxes postmarked by the 18th of April. So if you haven't done it yet, you got one more day, my friends. Please do not forget. We want to keep you as a listener. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. I am not the tax man. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday, April the 17th already. Wow. In a few minutes, speaking about taxes, we are going to talk with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. We're going to talk about the ballooning budget of the Internal Revenue Service. Is it good news or bad news for U.S. citizens? We're going to have more IRS employees. So we'll talk to him about that. Stay tuned. And a new report seems to indicate that the United Nations Human Rights Commission, might indeed condone normalization of sex with minors. What? You know, the United Nations is getting further and further out of whack in many, many ways. We're going to take a look at this and see if there's any truth to it. And Google, you know, the number one search engine in the country, Google is scrambling for its own new search engine. Why is that? Well, they want to keep up with artificial intelligence. You know, like, what is it called? Bing or Bling? It uses artificial intelligence to help find answers to people's requests. So Google is sort of behind the times. We're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10. I've always wondered about this. We're going to find out. The top 10 longest interstate highways in America. Are you close to one of them? We will find out towards the end of the show. All right. So, as we said, this is the week that you got to pay your taxes. And the question of when the U.S. might default on its own payments will come into sharp relief this week when the Treasury reveals how big its tax take is going to be. You know, every year, apparently, the IRS gets more and more money coming in. The problem is we got these idiots in Washington that are spending more than we are taking in. It's been going on like that for many, many years. This is what happens when you have an out-of-control, non-binding currency. The currency is floating. We don't have the gold standard or a silver standard behind it. So we end up printing money, which leads to inflation, of course, and it leads to all kinds of deficits and national debt of $32 trillion. With the political battle over the statutory debt ceiling set to come up again quite soon, the Treasury's tax receipts will give a better idea of how much cash it will have on hand as it approaches the limits imposed by the so-called $31.4 trillion cap that will prevent it from borrowing. You mean we can't say under $31.4 trillion? Good Lord. Right now, the estimates for that so-called drop-dead date are wide, anywhere from early summer through the fall of this year. So investors and officials are hoping they will soon have a better idea when the hell we're going to go into a situation where we don't have any more money to spend. This Tuesday, that's tomorrow, is the deadline for most U.S. taxpayers to get their annual paperwork filed, make their payments for what they estimate is owed. Those funds should show up in the Treasury's bank account shortly afterwards to bolster its rapidly dwindling cash pile. So there you go. Didn't Biden supposedly come up with some sort of cost-saving bill? I mean, it sounded good, but apparently we're going deeper and deeper into debt, and we don't seem to be able, we're spiraling down and down and down. And everybody knows it. Meantime, the value of the dollar is losing its value, is going down as well, which means that we're spending more money. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket.
By the way, we do have a backing for our dollar.
Oh, we do? Okay. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Paper and ink.
Yes. That's about it.
As long as we got paper and we got ink.
I guess we can just keep printing.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So it's just, it's a scary scenario. And the Republicans continue to say that they're not going to, the House is now in the hands of Republicans. That's where spending begins. And the Republicans claim they're not going to, this time, they're not going to give in to any more overspending, that we've overspent enough. Well, we'll see if they get wobbly on that. Let's see here, anything more on this? The narrowing window for negotiations in Congress and in the Senate and with the administration likely to become an increased focus for lawmakers in the coming weeks. Kevin McCarthy, he is the Speaker of the House and a Republican, is preparing to roll out his proposal for a one-year debt ceiling suspension, according to people familiar with the matter. Republicans have long sought to make any deal contingent on spending cuts, while President Joe Biden has insisted that ceiling and budget issues ought to be separate. Well, get a little backbone, Republicans, and force these people to stop spending money we don't have. We haven't even printed that money yet. That's another problem. So there you go. In the meantime, we talk about China and what's going on at the border. And did you know that there's a huge upsurge of Chinese people that are attempting to get to our southern border and come in, that are trying to get out from under President Xi of China's heavy-handed situation? They have risked arrest, drowning, robbery as they pass through some 8 nations. These are the people from China we're talking about that are trying to get out. 8 nations to reach the southern U.S. border, following in the footsteps of hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans. The Chinese migrants making dangerous treks through Latin America are a subset of the larger outflow of Chinese of all wealth levels. Under Xi, the private sector has been squeezed, forcing layoffs and driving away entrepreneurs. Others worry political repression will only get more suffocating as Xi embarks on his third term in power. The United Nations Refugee Agency counted over 116,000 Chinese seeking asylum around the world at a point measured in mid-2022. That is up a bit from previous years. And so that's what's going on. People in China do not like what's going on in their own country. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, hopefully, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tune in to the Shrink and Wrap Show here on Tantalk Radio. Our stories and our topics will include, but are not limited to, everyday issues. We're here for you, for our listeners. We want to know what's important to you. So again, don't miss us on Tantalk Radio. Tune in again, Shrink and Wrap Show. We'll see you then.
That's the Shrink and Wrap Show every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mustang Sally. Hey, we are back on a Monday. As we said, in a couple of days, you got to make sure that you send in your tax form and your money if you need to. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Internal Revenue Service, what's going on there. They got a whole bunch of new money. And Chris Edwards, who is with the Cato Institute, and he's a fiscal policy expert. By the way, he's also the editor of Downsizing Magazine and a buddy of ours that comes on from time to time. We are going to talk about this new IRS enforcement budget with all these new people apparently that they're going to hire and what they're going to do. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Indeed, it's our pleasure. And so we were just talking before you came on about the fact that our government is taking in more money than it's ever taken, and likely this year they will have brought in more money than ever before in a single year, and yet we go deeper and deeper in debt because we continue to spend more. So now we've got, what do we have with the IRS? We've got, is this part of Biden's Inflation Reduction Act?
Last summer when the Biden administration and Congress passed the Inflation Reduction Act, it added $80 billion for the IRS, essentially doubling its budget over the next decade. That's bad enough. But then one of the big problem with it was that of the $80 billion, $46 billion went to tougher enforcement, and only a tiny fraction, $3 billion, went to better customer service. Anyone who's tried to call the IRS in recent years or dispute a charge or a penalty from the IRS knows it's impossible to get anyone on the phone there. It's impossible. It takes months to fix errors. And yet only a tiny fraction of this extra money went to having better customer service. I mean, the IRS only answers the phone about 10% of the time these days. It's appalling. So all this extra money is being dumped into enforcement. The Biden administration is quadrupling the IRS enforcement budget over the next decade. And as I've written at length, more enforcement means less civil liberties. And, you know, we don't have that. Americans are generally very law abiding when it comes to paying their taxes. And as I've written, our level of cheating in the U.S. tax system is only a small fraction of the level of cheating, for example, in Europe. We don't have a big problem on it, and yet the Biden folks are going to quadruple the enforcement budget. It is a waste of money, and some more money should have gone instead to customer service to make it work better, for the system work better for us.
Yeah, indeed. I know that there is a need to update things. I imagine the computers that they use. It seems like there's all kinds of problems these days with the upgrading of equipment in many of the departments of our government. I suspect the IRS probably has the same problem. And, of course, it's been the story of the IRS that they have been over the years, you know, the hardest thing to talk to a human being is through the IRS. So we've known about that. So it doesn't sound like the money is going to go towards what it really needs to go towards.
No, it's the IRS came out with a big strategic operating plan a couple weeks ago that describes some of their ambitious goals for how they want to improve customer service and improve their computer system, as you noted. The IRS's own plan admits that, you know, they still use computer systems with the COBOL programming language from the 1960s. It's pretty,
really?
It's pretty remarkable. So they need new computers.
Oh my God.
They need better customer service. And they have some reasonable goals to improve their customer service. The problem is that's not where Biden and the Democrats put the money. The vast majority of it's going to enforcement, and I think this is really misguided. One of the problems is that the IRS makes a lot of mistakes. So people may think that all this new enforcement is not going to affect them because, you know, they're honest and they pay their taxes. But all this extra money for enforcement means more audits, more demanding of information, more compliance costs for people who are already following the law. So the enforcement burden lands on everyone. And one good example of this is that the IRS is going to vastly increase the reporting requirement for small business people who use some of those payment apps like PayPal and Venmo. The reporting requirements will vastly increase for that. And again, the IRS makes lots of errors. So if you're a small business person and the IRS starts getting all this additional information about, payments from your customers and they make mistakes, it's going to be very difficult to correct these mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with all this extra enforcement.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're talking about the some $80 billion that they got, kind of almost doubling their budget to go out and make things better. But the question is, are they really making things better? Didn't Biden say something about, oh, no, we're not going to go after the middle class or whatever. We're going to go after people that are making like over $400,000 or more, and make sure they're paying their it's always the rich paying their fair share. That's all. At least that's what you hear from them. But then you look at the IRS, and if they're going after, you know, small businesses, which are the backbone of our country, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's what they're promising. I don't believe it, but I still don't, even if they are only going after people above $400,000 a year, that's a lot of, you know, mid-sized businesses. And again, one of the problems is Americans are already pretty honest on their taxes, and you can see this from the data. In fact, the IRS the IRS occasionally calculates what they call the tax gap, the amount of tax cheating. It's actually gone down over the last couple decades. It hasn't gone up like some of the scare media headlines will suggest. The tax cheating has actually gone down. So this is not a big problem, and I'm not in favor of, you know, this increased oppressive enforcement on mid-sized businesses either. So and again, it's there's this expanded reporting requirement for people who run small businesses and use payment apps like PayPal. So it used to be that if you were under $20,000 a year in the total payments you received through these systems, you had to report your income, but there wouldn't be this excessive reporting requirement. So the Biden administration, the IRS, are reducing this reporting requirement from $20,000 a year to just $600 a year.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, anyone who sells anything over any kind of app over $600 a year is going to have these additional reporting requirements. And again, it's going to create enormous amount of extra paperwork the IRS can handle, and they're going to make lots of mistakes.
Yes, indeed. You wrote about all of this on the Cato website. One of the things you brought up, Chris, is the idea of simplifying the tax code. You would think that they could do that. You know, you would think that they could get a handful of people that know that number crunchers, et cetera, get them in a room and figure out a simpler way of doing the whole tax system and then present it to Congress and see what they think. But it doesn't seem like we want to really do that.
we've gone in the opposite direction. The most horrible example of recent years has been the vast increase in energy tax incentives or tax breaks or loopholes, whatever you want to call them, that was passed by the Biden administration in the last couple of years. I mean, there's vast new and expanded tax credits for everything, all these kind of renewable energies and batteries and all the rest. These are going to, the value is hundreds of billions of dollars, which is going to create a huge incentive for people to cheat on them. The IRS is going to have to do vastly more auditing for anyone who takes any of these things. It's going to be a giant mess. Each one of these tax credits is so complicated. I mean, I've written recently about there's a $10 billion tax credit called low-income housing tax credit. It's $10 billion. The guidebook for this credit is 1,700 pages long. It's an absolute absurdity, and that's just one credit. Biden's expanded and added dozens of these new credits. Mm-hmm. So this is ridiculous. The Byzantine complexity of our tax code just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, some years ago, was it Steve Forbes and a few of those people that talked about something called the flat tax?
That's right. Well, during the 1990s, the Republicans were talking about the flat tax all the time, and this was a great idea. Steve Forbes championed it when he ran for president in 1996. Too bad he didn't win. The flat tax would have a single rate for everyone. It would get rid of all the loopholes.
Right.
So everyone would just pay a flat, I think he had 19% flat rate for everyone,
right,
both individuals and businesses. Would have been vastly simpler. There would have been a lot less cheating by rich people and everyone else, because it would be so simple for the IRS to administer.
Yeah, and I bet you they'd get more money in the long run.
I think that's right.
And they would save
a couple of dozen of the Eastern European countries put in flat taxes and actually greatly reduced the amount of cheating they experience in their tax codes. So these systems work, and that's where we should be headed.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And here's the deal. I mean, we can talk about it, but I worry that nothing ever gets done, that the tax system and the IRS is going to become even more complicated. The more people that they add, trying to find them, you know, things to do in there, the costlier it's going to become. People have lost faith in the government to begin with and where the money is going. I don't know. It just seems like everything's going in the wrong direction, Chris.
Well, I think that's true, but that doesn't mean we can't continue to fight and reverse some of the worst policies here. So, for example, this quadrupling of the IRS enforcement powers and spending, the Republicans now control the House. They absolutely should fight to reverse that. I think that'll be a real disaster for the tax system if that goes ahead.
Yeah. And do you think that they have the backbone to fight and do that? The Republicans.
Well, the first big battle is going to be when they fight over this debt limit bill coming up later this summer. So we'll see whether they're able to extract any spending reforms from that back and forth with the administration. So we're going to have to see.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and I thank you so very much for coming on, Chris, and talking a little bit about it. Keep up your good work. I know we'll be talking with you again down the road.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All righty. Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, a new report seems to indicate that the United Nations Human Rights Commission might condone the normalization of sex with minors. Can you believe it? We're going to take a look.
Make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, Kellyhead, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
That song, it makes you want to get up and dance. So, Ed, we were talking last week about Budweiser Light, Bud Light.
You know, last time we played that song, you had the same reaction, so I thought I'd do it again. Go ahead.
I told you. It makes me want to get up and dance. We were talking about this guy, Dylan Mulvaney, who came on and was the spokesman for all right. So, have you heard the latest? Budweiser has released a new ad.
Yes,
with the unleash the Clydesdales.
Yes, they dusted off the Clydesdales.
Dust off the Clydesdales.
Now, you gotta remind you,
saddle up the Clydesdales.
They quit using the Clydesdales.
Yeah.
A while back, they quit using them.
Well,
I don't know if PETA got on their tails
were we
about
harming the Clydesdales.
I don't know. You know how it goes with them.
I don't know.
But here's the thing. Now this whole thing with this Mulvaney, whatever his name is
Mulvaney.
Okay, yeah,
Dylan Mulvaney, I think.
You put that face on a can. Now,
would you want to order a Bud Light?
Let me tell you, the alcohol industry has gone where they should not go. Now, if you remember during the pandemic that we saw grocery stores close, we saw this close and that close, department stores, the liquor stores always remained open.
True. In fact, we needed more liquor more than ever.
Exactly. When you mess with America's supply of liquor or defame it somehow, you will get a lot of pushback.
Yes.
And I am so happy because this is really growing. So happy that people stood up and said, this is enough.
They really
did. You're going to change it because you want to look like you're all in with everybody, and you're not singling out the soldier or anything like that.
With Walt Disney World.
Same thing with Walt Disney World.
Why get into that political morass? You know, stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you do best. Why do sports figures get political? Play sports. Do what you do best. Leave that alone. Don't get into politics. Don't force somebody to wear a gay jersey on a certain night in hockey or whatever. Don't do it. All you're doing is you're alienating half of your patrons when you do things like that.
If you go back, let's go back 10 years ago, these same people, they just had a concept. We just want to get along with everybody. We just want to get along. Now the motif is we want you to go along. This is what we want. If you don't want it, then you're a racist, you're a homophobe, whatever.
Exactly. So they got the new ad out now, and it features the Clydesdales, and they're touring the country.
I think it's a little too late.
From New York City to the Grand Canyon, passing by scenes in the American heartland as a narrator delivers a patriotic message. Okay.
Even pulling out the Clydesdales, because I think the most watched and the most emotional Clydesdale ad was the one on 9/11 when the horses came to New York and they had them bow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was emotional. Yeah. Very much so. So anyway, as we said, unleash the Clydesdales. Away we go. We'll see if Bud Light can get back its, I mean, once you, you know, beer is beer. It's so psychological.
Well, now
the color of the can, you know, you think that one tastes different than another.
Well, now you're going to get pushed back from the trans if they make a change. You get the trans community, you're going to get a pushback from them now.
Oh, I see.
Well, what if they pull that can back now? Now what?
How about if Dylan rides one of the Clydesdales across the Grand Canyon? Maybe that'll work. Dylan Mulvaney. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Enough about that. I never drank Bud Light. I used to drink Miller Lite. I don't know why, because way
here's
back.
The thing. They said Budweiser lost like $500 million.
They lost a lot, yeah.
Okay, then where did that money go? Did Coors Light have an influx of 500 million? I mean, did Miller Lite sales go up? Did Coors Light sales go up?
I would guess they would, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I mean, people are going to continue to drink.
Well, yes.
So what are they going to do? They're going to go and look for another light beer, I would suspect.
I've seen everything from putting a can on a home plate and using a bat to use it as a baseball to a steamroller, steamrolling yeah. cases and cases of beer.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do. True. Okay. So, a shocking report issued by international legal experts with the backing of the United Nations appears to open the floodgates to normalizing sex with minors. Now, here is a statement from the Geneva-based International Commission of Jurists, whatever the hell they are. They wrote in March, with an assist from the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, the following: sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law. What the hell are they doing? Don't they got enough to do to keep the world from blowing itself up, to get into this nonsense and scary kind of thinking?
There are some countries on this planet that don't have the morals, so to speak, that we have. I mean, some of them, a 30-year-old man can date a 15-year-old. I don't know.
True.
I mean, they do. It happens. I don't know if they're trying to make them feel more easy so a little wifey can come along. It's 15. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
In most industrial...
We can't change it, Paul. We can't.
No.
We can't go in and change it.
No, but why do we have the United Nations coming along?
But they're, you know, they're a strange brew.
No kidding.
Anyway.
No kidding. In fact, a lot of them are a little bit weird themselves, each of those people. But anyway, the report is titled the 8 March Principles for a Human Rights-Based Approach to criminal law prescribing conduct associated with sex, reproduction, drug use, HIV, homelessness, and poverty. Boy, that's the first chapter alone, is just reading the title of the book. It does not actively call for decriminalizing sex between adults and minors, but it states that children have both the capacity and the legal right to make sexual decisions. Well, I will tell you something. At a certain age, maybe. But there is a certain age where they don't have the capacity to make sexual decisions. And to take advantage of children that way is just wrong. Don't care what anybody says. Just wrong. All right. Google. Now, everybody goes to Google, Ed. You know, generally, we're going to Google. It's become a verb. We're going to Google it.
Google it.
Everybody goes to Google. And it's true, yeah. Well, Google is reportedly pushing to update its search engine and create a completely new one in the face of threats from competitors that use artificial intelligence in their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this at all?
Yeah.
Wow. You'd think Google would have been on the cutting edge of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have thought.
So it's basically a computer running a computer.
Yeah. So let's say that you wanted to find out something and you went to one of these search engines. and it's all computerized. And
they've always wanted a computer. The main goal of a computer is to get it to think on its own, because it's much faster than our brain is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're using with the artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking. Who is it? Elon Musk is warning that artificial intelligence.
And now they're making robots and stuff. And yeah, that's creepy.
He says it's really a scary.
There's a movie out right now. It's called Megan, that has a doll that looks human. And now I don't know who has it, but they have a human head that it's not the same skin colors, because it would be really creepy. I think it's blue. But the lips and eye movement and everything is almost spot on to what we do. You know, keep that in Hollywood, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so in other words, you're talking about a movie.
No.
You're talking about a real thing.
There is a movie out called Megan, okay? Yeah. And that's out right now.
But there is also...
But they also have a real life robot that's just a head and shoulders.
Yeah.
But it's the brain that thinks. And it,
really?
Yes.
That is a creepy thing. Yeah. So, Bing. Have you ever used Bing?
No. Yeah. I stay away from it because there's too many ads attached to it.
Yeah. And Google's got a lot of ads at the top these days, too. But anyway, Bing has long been a search engine competitor to Google, but has often taken a back seat as users flock to the well-known Google platform. Bing, now becoming more of a challenge to Google after it added artificial intelligence. Google is working on a plan to incorporate AI features into its existing search engines, while simultaneously building a completely new one, according to according to the New York Times, which has reviewed some of their internal documents. The new search engine falls under a project known as Magi, M-A-G-I, like the three wise men or whatever, Magi, which is being created by a bevy of employees, including engineers and executives. This search engine is aimed to be more personalized than the current engine, with the platform attempting to anticipate users' requests. Okay. Well, we'll see where all of that goes, but now I'm getting afraid to use Google. I don't want it to say, "Hi, Paul, do you really mean this instead of this?" I don't know.
Well, it tells you that already.
Yeah, it does.
When you type in the wrong thing, it'll say, "Do you really mean?"
Yeah, which is good, because in many cases, that's exactly what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
What they say I meant, you know, that I can understand. But the personalization of this thing gets a little bit.
You know, it's already on your phone with Siri. Yeah. You know,
okay.
If you leave that on all the time, and you're I don't know if you've ever been by yourself or whatever, and your phone is there, and you say something out loud, and the phone picks up on it.
Yes,
it's done it to me. I've been driving around and said, "I got to use the bathroom," just kind of out loud, and all of a sudden it comes in and goes, "The next rest area is 12.3 miles."
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Isn't there like that that thing you can talk to in your house? That okay. Mm-hmm. And that might pick up something you don't really mean
to
address.
Exactly.
It.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like in 20 years, what... I mean, if our,
look how
our
far
world
we,
is still
look
here.
How far
we're
we,
still here. But can you imagine what it's going to be like with artificial intelligence? I mean it.
Go back 20 years from now. Go to 2003. We didn't even have smartphones yet.
No.
We had the flip phone.
Yes.
If you were really fast with your fingers, you could text on that thing.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah,
back then.
Then you know how the numbers have letters on top? You had to do that, like you had to hit
I kinda know
G
what you mean.
Five times to get the H or whatever.
Yeah.
Or six to hit the H.
Yeah.
But I never understood that. But anyway, but that's how far we've come in just 20 years.
Oh, I know. I mean,
look at the size. Look at the size of things.
We're leaping light years when it comes to tech.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one area where we are going forward. I would venture to tell you that in many ways in other areas we are actually going the other way.
But not in tech.
I mean, my first computer 30 years ago, the memory on it was 4 gigs. And that was supposed to be high. Today, you can get something that is 50 times as high, say, 200 gigs, or even, let's go with a terabyte, which is 500 times two.
Yeah.
Could fit in your pocket.
If you go back and you watch things like when we went to the moon, and you know the computer mm-hmm. systems yeah. back in the 60s?
Yeah.
And they were like entire rooms sure. of machines.
Look at
now, your little iPhone yep. has actually got more capacity.
Go back to Star Trek. Go back to Star Trek, the movie, the TV series. They had flat screen monitors. Kirk's communicator was a flip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the other technology that they had.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing, no question about it. Anyway, I am a little worried about the artificial intelligence and where we're going with it, but that's just me, I guess. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, did you know there was a, in the loop in Chicago, just like a teen takeover?
Yes, yes, yeah, I'm glad you're
so
bring that up.
We're going to talk about that,
yeah.
And then a little bit later, we're going to tell you the top 10 longest interstate highways in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we're so grateful that you are with us here. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Freedom Works, 10 to 11 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we're delighted you're with us, if you are, listening to us live. But thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are also on podcast, which means you can go to our website anytime and listen to our show or shows. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top there, and you'll see the word podcast. Click on it. Ed's got our most recent shows at the top once you do that. And you'll know who the guest is in our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Yes, and Ed's pointing to the screen, and I guess they're talking about the Chicago situation. And this is kind of, I mean, things are going bad in all these major cities. I come from the Chicago area, so I always have a particular feeling for the Windy City. And the mayor-elect there, his name is Brandon Johnson, is warning against vilifying the youth while at the same time condemning a chaotic teen takeover of the loop over the weekend, which saw hundreds of young people descend on the downtown area for two nights in a row. Yeah, that's just what we need.
In other words, he's saying They're just kids.
They're just tearing apart all the stores.
You people in Chicago.
Ripping things up and attacking people in cars. That's all right. They're just being kids.
This is saying you get what you pay for. You also get what you vote for.
Exactly.
You went from Beetlejuice to this idiot.
Exactly. I thought, you know, that they
had... He's not even in office and he's making stupid decisions.
True. Two teenage males, 16 and 17, were shot while standing in a crowd during this mayhem on Saturday night as hundreds of young kids smashed cars, blocked traffic, fought in the streets. Both victims were transported to a hospital. So here's what the mayor-elect, Brandon Johnson, had to say. In no way do I condone the destructive activity we saw in the Loop and Lakefront this weekend. It is unacceptable and has no place in our city. However, it is not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their own communities. I see.
Boo-hoo.
So, because they're getting upset with the way things are going in their neighborhoods, come on down to the Loop.
Yeah, blow off
Let's
some
steam. Let's
all
get together and just kind of wreak havoc for a couple of nights.
Grab some baseball bats
Bring
and
your
some
baseball
Molotov
bats.
Cocktails and... Let's just get it on.
Let's get
Come
it on.
On.
Let's get it on, baby.
Release some energy. That's a little, you're just having a little bonfire.
Here's, and he goes on to say, this is, again, the mayor-elect, our city must work together to create spaces for youth to gather safely and responsibly under adult guidance and supervision to ensure that every part of our city remains welcome to both residents and visitors. You know what? Look, let's be... dead honest about any major city like Chicago. You ain't gonna go walking down the inner city of any major city in the middle of the night if you're a white guy, okay? Or a white woman, because there's a very high chance you're gonna get whacked. You're gonna get beaten up. You're gonna get shot. You're gonna get attacked. And that's just the way life seems to be. And it's been going on that way for a long time. And we talk about the whole concept of the black family unit and the lack of a father and these boys that grow up and, you know, turn 16 and 17 with all of this anger and frustration and thinking that they're not going to go anywhere in their lives. So what do they turn to? They turn to drugs. They turn to crime, right? That's what goes on. Why don't we really come out and say that? Why don't we say, look, the concept of the family unit is the place where everything starts and everything starts to work. And if you don't have that, I don't care how much money you throw at it.
Because your family teaches you right from wrong.
If you're
one of those kids that were down there and you just wanted to go down and blow off steam, just hang out with your buddies and stuff like that, the minute you see violence starting to happen, what do? You turn around and you go home. You don't participate in it. You go home. I've been in situations where we're just hanging out. Things got kind of wild. And I was like, listen, I'm going to exit this thing.
Yeah, right.
Before it gets out of hand. Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, of course. But
jumping on top of buses and turning cars over.
But, Ed.
They're thugs.
Ed, this is going on in every major city in our country. So we have to admit the pattern is the same. And so are the reasons for the pattern. Okay. And we got to be honest, we got to be real. The black family unit back in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s never was like this. But that was before we started throwing money at what we thought was a societal problem. And all of a sudden, when we start giving away money, it made the whole concept of family responsibility, parental responsibility, whatever you want to call it, but it comes down to personal responsibility, it weakened it. And this is what we've ended up with. This is the result of all of the money that we've thrown into this kind of a thing. It should never have been done in the first place. The best thing we could have ever done after the Civil War, when we gave them, two mules and a spot of land or whatever that thing was, people, if left to their own devices, will succeed if you give them the opportunity of their own personal freedom. Mm. That's what, in my opinion, that's the thing we should have done. And when we look at a group of people and say, oh, I know how to help them, let me take your place and give you stuff that other people work for. No.
Because we owe it to you.
Because we owe it to you. It's the worst thing we could have done. Yep. Okay? It's the worst thing. Okay, enough about that. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about our, and I think you predicted this, I must say, before we get into our top 10, and that is our beloved Tampa Bay Rays finally lost after 13 straight wins.
Yeah.
They go up to Toronto, and they lost 2 out of 3 there. And now you predicted they would lose up
there.
They
did. I was cautious. I wanted to see how Kevin Cash, the manager, was going to handle this and keep it kind of level. And then I started listening to some of the pregame, how the players were showing up in all these costumes, celebrating their 13-0. And I would have put a lid on that because, listen, at 13-0, you haven't won anything. They don't even give it out a trophy for 13-0. So I would have kept it like we were 5-5 and played. So anyway, it happened. They lost the first two games. They weren't blown out, which is a good thing. They lost 6-3 and then 3-6, whatever it was. And then the last game, yesterday, they won, I think it was 7-1. So it was nice that they kind of got things going
again.
They
collected themselves, right.
I would have felt really, I wanted to see them get the record, but I also didn't want to see them get swept. And winning the last game is a good thing. So
good. Speaking about Toronto.
There's a lot of teams wish they were 13-2 right now.
Oh, absolutely.
14-2, sorry.
Speaking about Toronto and Tampa Bay, they are meeting tomorrow in hockey.
Yes.
And it begins their playoffs.
Yep, yep.
And the last time we looked at the Lightning, they went to the finals, and they lost to the Colorado Avalanche, the Stanley Cup, after winning 2 years in a row. Just real quickly, do we have a shot, do you think?
Well, we always have a shot. Do you think they're going to win the series? No.
Okay. Do you think it's going to be Boston?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
I think it's been Boston all year.
Boston's got a record
all
that's
year.
Unparalleled.
Yeah.
All right. Time for our top 10, and we're going to get into it real quickly here. Top 10 longest interstate highways. By the way, did you know that the highway system was established under the administration of Dwight Eisenhower in 1956?
Yes.
Okay.
And it connects states.
It's designed to reach every city with a population of more than 100,000. Did you know that the north-south interstates are odd numbers, and the even numbers run east and west?
Okay.
All right.
And they connect to each other,
they
states.
Do.
Which
here we go.
We're going to try to figure out why Hawaii is an interstate.
All right. We're going to run through these real quick. The top 10 longest interstates. Number 10. I-20, 1,539 miles. Number 9, I-35, 1,568 miles.
Bingo.
What about it?
You said I-35. I said bingo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Number 8, I-94. That's up near Chicago, 1,585 miles. Number 7, I-75. That's close by.
Sure.
1,786 miles. Number 6. Another one running through Florida is I-95.
Right.
Yeah. 1,925 miles. It runs all the way up to the north.
Yep.
Okay. Number 5. I-70. 2,153 miles. Number 4. I-10. 2,460 miles.
I knew that had to be
in
there.
You knew that, right. Number 3. I-40, 2,555 miles. Number 2. I-80, 2,899 miles. And number 1.
I'm going to say something like 1 going in California somewhere.
I-90.
Really?
It's in the middle of the country.
Okay.
3,102 miles.
Wow.
That's a long way to go.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, please, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.